Good job, Rick. Way to go. Yes, Rick is a member of our men's leadership team, and he's actually leading the way on this barbecue. It's going to be a great, great time. Also want to remind everybody that in 2 weeks from today, we are having a very special offering. We're calling it our D-Day for Debt offering. And our prayer is that with this offering, we're going to completely pay off our mortgage. We are so close. We have a balloon payment on June 20th, and our prayer is we're going to completely pay off our loan before that. This loan, the mortgage on our church, started off years ago at $1.5 million, $1.5 million, and the Lord has blessed us, the Lord has helped us, and now we are under $100,000 away from completely paying off that $1.5 million loan. So I'm really, really excited. I know you are too. And so in 2 weeks, we're going to be doing that special offering. We'll actually be passing the offering plates that day. So we're gonna do the offering a little special that morning. And of course, you can give online, which so many of you are doing now. And I know that's been very helpful for you. So be praying with us, and let's believe God together for a miracle, amen? Let's believe God together to take care of this thing. We've been doing this series on Sunday mornings for the last couple of months called When Christ Returns, and we've been talking about the second coming of Christ and end times prophecy. I hope that this series has been as much a blessing to you as it has been to me. Honestly, preparing these messages, doing the study, and delivering them on Sundays, it's been an awesome experience for me. And my prayer is just, I hope that you've been as blessed as I have in this series. And I want you to continue. We're almost finished with the series, a couple of more weeks, but my prayer for you is that you would continue as a follower of Jesus to pay attention to what's happening in the world around us and to pay attention to what the Word of God has to say about these things. Amen? Just remember, no matter what happens, God has everything under control, and God has a plan that no one can change, and God is going to carry out His plan in this world. And the things that God does, they're always good. Amen? They're good. God has good things in store for us. And so I would just encourage you, as we study end times prophecy, as we understand it, it does so many great things in our lives. It helps us keep our focus on Jesus. It helps us to remember to talk about our faith, to share Christ with other people. It encourages us when we're discouraged by things. It encourages us to remember that God is in control. Remembering to study end times prophecy, remembering that God is in control, it just does so many great things for us. In fact, in the book of Revelation, at the very beginning, in chapter 1, we read this. To me, it's so interesting. You know, we're blessed anytime we read the Word of God. It's the Word of God, and it blesses us. But there's a special blessing when it comes to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 says this: "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it." All right, now we're always blessed by the Word of God, but the book of Revelation specifically, it's the only book that it says we're blessed when we read it and when we read it out loud. Interesting. And when we listen to it being read. So we're going to put that into practice a little bit later this morning. This morning, we're going to kind of just step back a little bit, and we're going to get like a big picture overview of the things that we've been talking about. Not necessarily the specifics, but there are three promises about the end times I want to draw your attention to this morning. These are three things that the Word of God guarantees us about the end times, okay? Three promises about the end times. And I'm going to give you all three right here at the beginning, and then we'll look at them one at a time. Three things we know are going to take place in the end times. First of all, things will become increasingly difficult. Nobody said amen to that. Yeah. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, right? And he didn't say that to frighten us. He said that to encourage us that when these things start to happen, remember, none of this is catching God off guard, right? So things are going to become increasingly difficult. These next two promises are a little more encouraging. God will be with us. And thirdly, we will overcome. Things will become increasingly difficult. God will be with us, and we will overcome. So let's think about these three things together. First one, the first thing is, things will become increasingly difficult in our world. In Matthew 24, Jesus talks about a whole lot of signs of the times, things that are going to happen in the end times. And he says things like, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. Think about how that has come to pass, especially in the last couple of hundred years, as so many world religions have led people away from Jesus, right? And just the increase in false teaching and false prophets. Jesus also said, you're going to hear of wars. Jesus said, nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, Jesus said, and earthquakes in various places. Jesus also said that many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. So all these things in Matthew 24, a lot of just really terrible things. Things are going to become increasingly more wicked, increasingly more difficult in the end times. But the end of all of this, Jesus said in Matthew 24, 13, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So stand firm, church. Amen? Stand firm no matter what is going on around us. So Jesus prophesied all of these difficult things. And then 62 years later, the Apostle John, having been banished to the island of Patmos, is there one day, and the Lord opened up his eyes to a series of apocalyptic visions that became the book of Revelation. And it's amazing how many of the things that Jesus said, they line up with the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 6, I'm going to read this to you, and I already promised I would do this. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Revelation chapter 6. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of seven seals, and then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a loud voice like thunder, come. And I look, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and it was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil or the wine. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of a fourth living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by the sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beast of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by the wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" So we see just all of these events unfolding as each one of these seals is removed. And event after event, tragedy after tragedy, destruction upon destruction will come on the earth. Now, why are things going to get so difficult? Why all this devastation? Why is this all going to take place in the end times? Why, as we get closer and closer to the end, why are these devastating, terrible things going to happen? Well, Jesus told us why. In Matthew 24 and verse 8, he said, "All these are the beginning of birth pains." All of these are the beginning of birth pains. So before a baby is born, there's 9 months of pregnancy, right? And during the last couple of months of pregnancy, for a lot of women, things get increasingly difficult. They get more and more uncomfortable. Our daughter Jennifer, who is 6 weeks away, 6 weeks away from giving birth to grandchild number 9. Yeah. She was talking to her mother yesterday, and she said, "Mom, I'm getting really, really uncomfortable." Yeah. So there's 9 months, 9 months of pregnancy. The last couple of months can be very uncomfortable. And then after all of that, the labor pains begin. And as the labor increases, the pain and intensity increase until finally that baby is delivered, that baby is born, and then there is great joy and celebration. Amen? So there's great joy and celebration because of this brand new life, and no woman would go through that whole ordeal unless she was looking forward to that baby at the end. Isn't that right? Why would you go through all of that? So Jesus says, this is what the end times are going to be like. There's going to be something great that God is going to do. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be life-giving. When Jesus returns, he's going to bring salvation and justice and order and life. But until that day comes, the struggle is going to increase. Why? Because there's a battle being waged in the heavenly realms. That's why. There's a battle. There's a war in the spirit realm. Now listen, I want to mention this too, just to alleviate fear that you might have. I absolutely believe that before the actual wrath of God is being poured out on the earth, we, followers of Jesus Christ, we're going to be out of here. I believe we're going to be gone before God actually pours out his wrath. Well, where do you get that? I'm glad you asked. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 says, "God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him." So yes, I believe we will probably go through some trying times, some difficult times, but before the judgment of God is poured out on the world, I believe that we, his followers, we're going to be taken out of here. So why are all these things taking place? Why are things getting increasingly difficult? It's the beginning of birth pains. God is up to something. God is going to do something great. The devil wants to drag as many people into hell as he can. And God, he is all about people being saved. And so there's a war going on, church. There's a war. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Things are going to become increasingly difficult. But here's the good news. God will be with us. No matter what difficulty you face now, what difficulties we might face in the future, you remember this. God is going to be with you. Amen? God is going to be with you, and he is on your side. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus said to his disciples, "Surely I am with you always." Everybody say always. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So Jesus promises his presence. He's going to be with us. Okay? Now listen, this isn't your notes, this next little section, but I want you to get this. When we think about the presence of God, there's something we all need to remember. We need to remember this. We will experience the presence of God at the level that we determine. I'm going to say that again. We will experience the presence of God at the level that we determine. Okay? So there's levels of the presence of God. In one sense, God is everywhere and he's always with us. But then we read, for example, in the Bible where Solomon dedicates the temple to the Lord, and the Bible says that the presence of God, the glory of God, fell so strongly on the temple as it was being dedicated, it says that the priests couldn't even stand up in the presence of God. So yes, God is always with us. He's always present. But there are times and places when God manifests his presence at a completely other level, right? And in our personal lives, we're going to determine how much we experience the presence of God. So think about the presence of God at three different levels. First of all, there's God's omnipresence. God's omnipresence. That simply means God is everywhere all the time. He's God. So he fills every space. It's his omnipresence. So in that sense, even unbelievers have the presence of God near them. They don't realize it necessarily, but God, he is everywhere. Paul, in Acts chapter 17 says this, and he's speaking to unbelievers when he says this. He says, God is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Paul says that to unbelievers. He's saying to them, look, you might not realize this, but God is alive and well, and he's closer than you think. And I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning, if you're watching online, and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, first of all, I want to encourage you to do so. But secondly, I want you to know, you might be thinking, well, God could never really love me. God, he has to be so far away from me. God feels so distant. No, the Word of God tells us that God is closer than you think. He's not far from you. He is a prayer away. Right? So that's one level of the presence of God. It's God's omnipresence. God is everywhere all the time. But then, as Christians, we can experience God at a whole another level. And I'm going to call this God's indwelling presence. His indwelling presence. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, Jesus actually comes into your life by his Holy Spirit, and he takes up residence in you. So now, wherever you are, you have the Spirit of God with you. Amen? Yeah. So there's God's omnipresence, but then there's God's indwelling presence in our lives. And how many of you know that's such a beautiful, wonderful miracle that God is with us all the time? He's in us. Amen? Aren't you so thankful? No matter what trial you're facing in your life, God is there with you. Hallelujah. But then I want you to think of God's presence at a whole nother level. And I'm going to call this God's abiding presence. His abiding presence. And Jesus spoke of this in John 15. Jesus said, remain in me, remain in me. Everybody say remain. Remain in me. All right? Now he's talking to his disciples here. They know him. They've been following him. But Jesus tells them, remain in me. And I also remain, and as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So church, there's God's omnipresence. There's God's indwelling presence. But there's God's abiding presence. And we will determine how much of the presence of God we experience in our lives. right? How do we determine that? Well, spending time in the Word of God, spending time in prayer, making sure we're in wonderful worship services like we enjoyed this morning. And the more and more we do that, the more you're going to sense the presence of God increasing in your life. Last week I asked the question, how many of you want more of God? How many of you want more of God? And so many of you responded, yes, that's what I want. I want more of God in my life. Well, listen, God is willing. God is willing, but we got to be ready. Amen? Yeah. God never, when people sincerely seek Him and go after Him, God never stands back and just says, well, I'm just going to make them wait. God doesn't do that. Amen? When we go after God and sincerely seek the Lord, God, Jesus said this, whoever, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. He doesn't say might be, he says they will be. When we're hungry for God and we go after Him. So I just want to encourage you and challenge you today. Thank God for His omnipresence. Thanks God for His indwelling presence. But let's go after the abiding presence of God in our lives. Amen? Let's get hungry for God. Amen. God is going to be with us. He's going to be with us. He's with us through His Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14:16, "Ask, I will ask the Father and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." It's the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, Jesus says, "When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." Wow. It's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. In church, we've always needed the Holy Spirit. But when I look at what's happening in our world today, we need a new measure of the fullness of God in our lives. Amen? We need a new measure of the fullness of God. I thank God for all the tools that we have as Christians these days. Man, we've got Christian television and Christian radio and great Christian books and bookstores. And we have so many resources, church. We've got Bible apps and Bible programs and Bible study tools. We have incredible preaching and teaching that is at our fingertips 24/7, right? All these amazing things. But can I tell you this? Listen, none of that is great and wonderful, and we should take advantage of it. None of it takes the place of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Amen? None of it. So let's go after God, church. Let's go after His presence. And then the third promise that we have from the Word of God is we will overcome. Someone shout amen. I said shout. Someone shout amen. I knew I'd wake you up. Yes, we will overcome. Listen, church, we're not going to go out with a whimper. We're going to go out in a blaze of glory. Yeah, we are. Jesus made this promise. He said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not stand against it." Church, we're going forward in the name of Jesus. Amen? Yeah, we're going forward. Listen, I'm as concerned as you are about the things that we're seeing in our world, the things we see in the news every day. But can I tell you something? All the whining and complaining and crying in the world, it's going to get us nowhere. Right? Amen. We can whine and cry all we want. But church, we need to take action. We need to get on our faces before God. We need to seek God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be talking about Jesus. Amen? So we can just stop our whining and crying and complaining, and let's get busy for God, church. Amen? Let's get busy. Let's advance the kingdom of God. Yeah. Jesus said in Matthew 24, that one of the things that's going to accompany the end times is going to be all these terrible things. But one of the things that Jesus said is this: the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So one of the things that's going to happen in the end times is there's going to be an increase of wickedness, but there's also going to be an increase of the gospel of Jesus Christ going into all the world. Yeah. And then the end will come. So we could look at that and say, well, you know, the gospel's basically been preached in every nation. But I can tell you, there are tribes of people, there are whole groups of people that do not have a church, do not have a Bible, have never heard the gospel, do not know one single Christian. In other words, church, our work is not done. Our work is not done. And I don't know that there's anything else that we can do to determine when Jesus comes back. I don't know if there's anything else that we can do to speed his coming, but I think this is the one thing. It says that the gospel is going to go to all the world as a testimony, and then the end will come. So if there was any one thing that we could do to speed the return of Jesus Christ, is to make sure the whole world hears the gospel. Yeah. So we're not going to go out with a whimper, church. We're going out in power. How many of you believe God does everything well? Yeah, God does all things well. He's not going to let his church whimper out. No. These are going to be glorious days for his church. These are going to be powerful days for his church. I believe that there are going to be people saved that we never thought would be saved. You believe God can do that? I do. God is going to do miracles. God is going to heal the sick. God is going to fill people with his Holy Spirit. These are going to be great, wonderful days. So I want you, church, to be encouraged in the Lord today. Let's go after God. Let's go after God. Let's go after what God wants, after God's agenda. Psalm 149:6 says, "May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands." Whew! It's the people of God. The praise of God in our mouths and a double-edged sword in our hands. Right? I don't know about you. That's how I want to go out. Yeah. That's how I want to go out. With the praise of God on my lips. With the word of God in my heart. With the word of God on my mouth. Amen? Let's go out that way, church. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning, church. Worship team, come on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. How many of you are hungry for more of God? More of God. More of God. Hallelujah. More of God. Hallelujah. Less hype. Less hype and more God. Amen. More God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we can have more of the Lord. We can have it. We can have it. We just have to go for it. Just have to go after God. Amen? So what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to respond to the word of God. And I believe today that many of you, you're just hungry for more of God. You're hungry for more of God. Hallelujah. And so this morning we're going to, just as an act of demonstration, saying to ourselves, saying to our church, saying to God, God, we're going after you. We're hungry for more of you. I'm going to invite you to come and join me just at the front up here as we're singing this next song. And let's come and stand in the presence of God together. And let's stand and say, God, here I am. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. God, I don't want to go out with a whimper. God, I want the praise of God to be on my mouth and a double-edged sword in my hand. God, use me in these last days. Use me to talk to people about Jesus. Use me to be a prayer warrior, God. Use me to be a difference maker. Use me, God. Use me, God. Here I am, Lord. And so if that's you today, I want to invite you to just step out from where you are. Come right up here to the front. And you're just saying, God, I'm hungry for more of you. I'm hungry for more of you. Come on, church. Come on, church. I'm hungry for more of you. Hallelujah. God, fill me with your power and with your presence. Fill me with your spirit, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I don't want to just get by. God, I don't want to be in survival mode, God. Hallelujah. God, I'm not ready to wave the white flag of surrender. God, I'm going to stand I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to stand for you, God. But I need your help, God. I need your power and presence. Yeah, come on, press right in, guys. Open up the aisle so everybody can get up that wants to be up here. Come on in, guys. Make room for people. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Just cry out to God right now. Here I am, God. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your spirit, God. I'm hungry for you, Lord. God, I want to see you move. I want to see you move, God. Hallelujah. God, I want my neighbors to be saved. I want my family to be saved, God. Lord, I want my friends to be saved, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your presence, God. I'm hungry for you, Lord. Oh, God, we praise you today. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we cry out to you, God. We cry out to you, oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, we praise your name, Lord. Oh, God.